morning again, guys, and so glad to have you here on this Memorial Day weekend. Would you guys stand to your feet again with me today? We're going to pray in just a moment. Also want to welcome all those watching online with us today, and we thank God for you guys as well. And on this Memorial Day weekend, come on, church family, can you welcome your online family as well? Thankful for you guys. And man, I just want to take an opportunity on this Memorial Day to say, man, how thankful we need to continue to always be for our military, our men and women who have served this great nation. How many know freedom is not free? And man, we're having church today because of the price that was paid for so many incredible and amazing men and women who have sacrificed so much for us to have this opportunity. Even tomorrow, as many of you have probably tomorrow off and you're cooking out, and hopefully we got sunshine tomorrow, right? But to take a moment and to really reflect and thank God for why we have that day and why we celebrate it. And so we're so thankful. And for all those watching online, we have military families that tune in and watch with us as well. We just thank God for you and your families as well, and for all of those who have, again, given their lives for our freedom. And so I just want to pray over the families today. And so I come from a very strong background of a military family. And so this is a really always an important weekend to our family as well, as I know we have many in this church too. So let's just pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you, God, so much on this Memorial Day for so many amazing men and women, God, who have given their life for our freedom. And Lord, today, Lord, in this weekend and tomorrow, we remember, God, their price and what they paid, God, for, Lord, allowing us, Lord, even right here, this opportunity. And Lord, even as so many across this great nation even has tomorrow off, I just pray that it's an opportunity for us to remember and to reflect as to why we have it off. And so, Lord, I just pray today that you would bless each and every family in a powerful way. God, as we remember the great things about our loved ones who paid the ultimate sacrifice. And so, God, again, just thank you for this great nation. And we just cover this great nation with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, and be with each and every family, God, as we remember this weekend, and continue, God, to be with our military and all those that serve and bless this great nation. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said a good amen. Come on, can we give a hand for all of our military, and as we remember this weekend, amen. You can have a seat. So today is such a unique day, and I will tell you, after first service, I cannot tell you how many people came up to me and said, Pastor, when can we do that again? And so I just thought, man, it was just incredible. So what's happening today, if you're here for the first time on this weekend, we have 6 different communicators that will be speaking. And so I'd love for y'all to give them a hand as they come on up here and join me on the stage. Come on, give them a big hand, everybody. Come on, keep it going for them. It's a crew. Come on, come on, come on. And man, I tell you what, so we're calling this day Family Vibes, and what each of them have that they're going to be speaking about is values, really just our values as a church and who we are. And so I want to read the definition of vibe. Everybody say family vibes. Come on, come on, come on. It means a person's emotional state or the atmosphere of a place as communicated to and felt by others. I think you're going to feel some things today, and I know that you're going to be really encouraged, challenged, hope's going to rise within you, and man, these guys have worked hard. And so what I'd love for us to do as a church family, come on, let's get behind these guys today. Amen, everybody. We just believe in God continuing to raise up people and just emerging communicators right here in our church, and there's some more, that's for sure, but these are some of them, and God will allow us different unique opportunities and just to continue to rise in different gifts, but this happened to be part of their gift. And so I'm just very excited, but very proud of these guys. And I think it's important that we continue to be a church that's life-giving, amen, and that empowers people to do the God-given call and dream within their heart and go for it in Jesus' name. And so this is what I want you to know, that some of these guys that are speaking, this is their very first time on a Sunday morning like this, all right? And so what I want to ask you to do is join with me today and let's just encourage them. Amen. Let's get behind each and every one of these speakers today and, man, just show them love and show them support. I know you will. And, man, they just really have done a phenomenal job in preparation. And God has done some great, great things already. Want to say to these guys, too, how much I love you, how much I honor you. And I thank God for just your commitment and what you're doing right here in the local church. And you're making a difference. And so I'm going to introduce them, and then we're going to get rocking. All right? You ready, everybody? All right? So on my left, here's Anna Sadler. Everybody say hi, Anna. All right? Anna is the wife of Kyle Sadler, our student pastors in our church. And so, man, they're doing an amazing job. By the way, getting ready to start our student internship, which we just talked about yesterday even more. Really excited for that. Come on, no Gina Johnson right here next to her. Come on. No, Gina, man, is just a flat-out leader, woman of prayer, has led multiple different small groups, and also really helps a lot with our student ministries. Got just a drive and a passion, and man, we just love her and honor her and thank God for her. Spencer, come on, my man, Spencer. It's a guy that wears a lot of different hats in this church who I love so much. I remember Spencer being about 18 and sitting in about the second or third row. Come on. And I remember, man, just every Sunday. He'd come to the 8:30. We had an 8:30 service back in the day. Aren't you, and those 9 a.m. people were thankful we moved it up a half hour. But he was always there at 8:30. But, man, he's helping to lead our young adult small group today. You'll see Spencer there. You'll see him in student ministry. You'll see him slapping the guitar like he was today. Come on. And man, he's just, he does a great, great job. We love Spencer. And Eric Grimes, come on, Eric and Tamika. Eric and Tamika lead our growth track. They're our growth track directors, man, just helping taking people the next step in their journey, have an incredible passion for, really called, I just believe, to really help assimilate and a real passion to see people, man, just come into their God-given gift and design. And so love Eric, love his heart, love his spirit. And man, I'm telling you what, man, he's just got an incredible heart just for people as well. And I love that about him. Mandy Muncy, I never said there's never a party unless the Muncies are with you at the party. Let me just tell you. You got to get to know this family. Mandy and Chad, her husband, they lead and direct our freedom ministry in our church. For those who have been a part of freedom, you know all about some freedom. And so they oversee that ministry in our church. And if you haven't been a part of freedom, get in it this fall when we start it back up. But they do an amazing job. And man, just longtime friends, two of ours, and love them dearly. And so thankful for them and just their leadership making an amazing difference. We love the Muncies, that's for sure. And last but certainly not least, come on, somebody. Come on. Brought him all the way up from the south. He and his wife, Gab, come on, from the state of Arkansas. We brought them to the promised land. Come on. Come on to meet Jesus here in Indiana. He's going to start us off this morning, our worship pastor. Come on, Kyle Gardner, give it up for him.
Man, what an incredible opportunity this is to get to lead alongside these incredible leaders and speak to you. But man, no church is, if it does not have vision, it perishes. And so the vision behind our pastors, Kyle and Bethany Mills, thank you guys for so much of what you do and allowing us to have this opportunity. This is incredible, and we are honored to be a part of this and get to do this. So let's get started. So this morning we're talking about our family vibes, and the first one I've got is love. No, not that kind of love. Get out of there. Come on now. I will say this, so why is love so important? Well, love is important. Scripture tells us this, that without love, we are nothing but the banging of a gong, which is annoying, and ain't nobody got time for that. Come on. All right, exactly. So so we'll start with our verse here in 1 John 4:18. It says that we love each other because he first loved us. But the Passion Translation says it this way. I'm going to back up just a minute. It says, love never brings fear, for fear is always related to punishment. But love's perfection drives the fear of punishment far from our hearts. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. And for me, for a long time, and even to this day, I will battle with it all the time, that love, God's love, and really understanding what that looks like. Because a lot of times I just feel so inadequate. I feel so unworthy. I feel so just afraid because I feel like I'm not going to measure up. And for a lot of my life, I felt that way. I felt that in order to gain God's love, I had to do a lot of things to get there. I had to accomplish a lot of things in order to be loved by God. But the thing that always threw me off was the people that said that they were being loved by God. The people that said, I'll show you God's love. because they seemed to be more afraid and confused than what I was half the time. The standard was set, but the bar, we could never get there together. And so one day, I really began to resent people. I began to think that this is going to be the new norm for my life. This is going to be my everyday. And then I began to think, you know what? I don't even need people. I can do this by myself. I can go it alone. I can do it by myself. I can do it better than what they can do it. And then I believed that the lie that even God did not love me, and he could not because I could not measure up to the standard that he set. But then I realized, like many of you in here, you're in that place where love is a foreign concept. You don't feel worthy. You don't feel adequate. You feel hurt. You feel like there is no way I can ever get out of this, that even the God of the universe could not love me because I'm too far gone and I can't go anywhere else. So here's the question I have. So why should we care? Here's the answer. If you have never truly needed unconditional love, then how would you know you've ever experienced it? I believe that the greatest impact of God's love comes in two ways. One, through our pain. Matthew 5, 11 through 12 says, not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down, throw you out, or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when this happens. Give cheer even, for though they don't like it, I do. And all of heaven applauds and know that you are in good company. When people come against you, you are in good company. They came against Jesus in a mighty way to the point that they put him on a cross, to the point that they condemned him for sins that weren't his. The second way, I believe, is through his people. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, yes, all things work for your enrichment. Another way of saying is betterment, improvement for your good, so that more of God's marvelous grace will spread to more and more people, resulting in an even greater increase of praise to God, bringing him even more glory. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Here's the deal. People are going to hurt you. People are going to lie to you. People are going to put you down. You're going to hurt people. You're going to lie to people, and you're going to put people down. But here's the deal. We look at the greatest example of all time of equipping and releasing people, and that was Jesus Christ through his disciples. Three of his disciples did this. One betrayed him. The other denied him three separate times on three different occasions. One of his disciples gained the nickname of doubter. I mean, come on. You're with Jesus. You're walking in the presence of Jesus, and you've still got struggles, and you've still got issues. So the point is, it's not about me. It's not about my personal feeling. It's not about my personal gain. It's not about what's happened to me. It's about the calling that God has for your life, the purpose that Jesus gave your life. So here's the thing. It is so much so that the purpose God gave for you before Jesus left this earth, he prayed this to his Father. Now, this is the impact he wanted you to make because he knew that together you would go much further than he ever could. John 17:11 says, Holy Father, I'm about to leave this world to return and be with you, but my disciples will remain here. So I ask that by the power of your name, protect each and every one of them, protect each one that you have given me, and watch over them so that they will be united as one, even as we are united as one. It was never about the one. It was always about the people. It was always about the many. Every single time. You can't do it alone. You can't do it by yourself. And love, here's the thing. A divided person moved by love brings a united perspective. Fill in the blank. A broken person. A hurting person. A person who has a purpose. A person who's been lied to. Moved by love will bring a united perspective. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time. We thank you that you first loved us and taught us how to love so that we can go out and that we can be the example of love to others. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
One second left he had. Good job. So I'm Mandy, and hey, y'all. Pastor Kyle and Bethany, thanks for allowing me to come up here. You guys are some of my best friends in the world, and I appreciate the opportunity because we all know that some friends should not let friends preach on Sunday. So I'm talking about honor, and I want to talk about valuing our past while celebrating our future. The most respectful way that we can value our past, whether we are proud of our past or whether we would want to completely forget about it, is to surrender it. I, as you heard, am a freedom coach. I've led freedom several times. And in that curriculum, there's a specific chapter dedicated to honor. It's called Vessels of Honor. And through that, it talks about surrender and how surrender is the absolute mountaintop of honor. Surrender is honoring because it requires you guys and myself to do something. It requires us to give up our bodies, our will, and our minds completely. It requires us to give up of ourselves. So let's look at Romans 12:2. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. So how does surrendering your body, will, and mind honor God? How does that happen? Here's how surrender works. So our bodies act out sin, like we're born sinful. As soon as we pop out of our mamas, sin, like we're just in sin, straight sin. So our minds then control our body, but our will controls the mind. So we have our will, our mind, and our body. And above all that is your spirit person. I don't have time to go in that today, but if you want to break it, you know, I'll break it down for you if you come to my freedom. So sign up for freedom in the fall. We'll talk about that. So the difficult and very personal question here is, are we willing? Are we willing to surrender? And sometimes the Lord has a way of pushing us to that moment of absolute surrender. In 2010, that was my moment of surrender. I found out that I was pregnant. I had an ultrasound that showed I had a really healthy baby, strong heart rate, little flickering heartbeat on the ultrasound, looked amazing. A few weeks later, I had some complications. I had some bleeding. I had to go back for another ultrasound. And when they turned around the screen, all we could see was like darkness. There was no flicker of a heart rate. There was no embryo, no baby. And the report said that it was a non-viable pregnancy. And those are three words that you don't ever forget. So when that happens, you're given a couple of choices. You can have surgery, you can take medication, or you can wait. So I took a moment to surrender and just waited. I just prayed about it, and I felt the Lord was telling me just to really wait and not do anything in that moment. So I waited, and it was about 4 weeks later that still not anything had happened. I mean, 4 weeks is a long time when you're going through something like that. But how many know that waiting can be one of the most loving and insanely difficult ways to honor God? Amen. Surrendering that moment to him. So they scheduled a third ultrasound for me, and I went back, and they actually called that it was a miscarriage recheck. So I'm laying there on the table and for this ultrasound, and they turn the monitor towards me, and here's what we saw. So the baby in this picture is a Marin. She was 14 weeks and 6 days old, and she had a heart rate of 141 beats per minute. Not only was this baby viable, but she was moving around so much that the tech had a hard time even getting her heart rate. And now, Amarin, she's here today. She's over here. She's almost 8 years old. She has strawberry blonde hair and a whole lot of sass to go along with it. So this is where my surrender journey really began, at that moment, because I have never in my life had to walk a minute by minute, hour by hour, life of surrender like I did in those 5.5 months until that baby girl was born. Every day was a battle to surrender my body, my mind, my will, and my baby to the Lord's will and not my own. You guys, when we honor God, when you do the work, when you put that to action, you will become honorable and you will become useful to him because he can use you. You're pliable, you're willing, you're laying it all down. And many of you are already feeling fulfilled, and you're feeling useful because you are serving on the dream team. You're leading a small group, you're attending a small group, you're making dinner for a family in need, you're fostering children, you're raising your grandchildren, some of you, and some of you are taking care of your elderly parents. You are honoring God by surrendering and allowing yourself to be useful for his purpose. And doesn't that feel good? Come on, you guys, doesn't that feel good? Yeah. So for those of you who are not quite there yet, your future is waiting on you. Are you willing to surrender? And if you are, don't just knock on that door. That door that says future. Knock it down and just step right through.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, we've heard about love and we've heard about honor. First thing I want to do is give honor to Pastor Kyle, Miss Bethany, and give honor to you guys. Thank you for allowing us to come up here, speak into your life, and to give you the things that God has given us. Amen? So what we're going to talk about for me is unity, or unite. Our church family unite to advance God's kingdom. So I'll give you a couple definitions here. Family, a group of people related to one another by blood or marriage. When I think about that, we all got family members that we're related to by blood that we will not claim. It is what it is. There's someone we just will not claim by blood. But we can proudly claim Jesus as our brother, as our blood brother. What a family to be in. That's something that none of us will ever be ashamed of. Amen? Unite. To come or bring together for a common purpose. Now, I'm going to talk about the common purpose for a minute. Here at Elevate, our common purpose, some of you should know this. All of you should know it. If you don't, by the end of the day, you will. What is our common purpose? To know God, to find freedom, to discover our purpose, and to make a difference. That's what we're united for. That's what we're united for. To advance. Here's a definition for advance. To move forward in a purposeful way. And how do we do that at Elevate? It's through growth track and small groups. I'm former military. And whenever we made a move, whenever we did things, we did it strategically. We did it intentionally. And we did it with a purpose. There's no difference in what we're doing now. We've heard it before. We're all in God's army. Well, hey, I don't take that lightly. Being former military, I understand what it means to be in an army. I understand what it means to move intentionally, purposefully, and strategically. And that's what we do here with growth track and with small groups. That's what we do. Those are the things that we do. Now, listen to this. When you think about unite, you look at the opposite of that, and that's divided. Not united, in disagreement. I moved up here from South Carolina over 20-odd years ago, and I was told that, you know, Fort Wayne was the city of churches. So I asked myself, we have all of these churches, why are we in so much disagreement? We don't have a common purpose. Everybody's out for their own agenda. And it's all about me, me, me. That's one of the reasons I love this couple right here. It's not about them. They don't have an agenda. All they want to do is God's will. I love when PK talks about boots on the ground, partnering with other ministries to get the word out, to get people to know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. In all we do, that's what we do. I love that. Now, let's talk about your purpose for a second. Regardless of how you were conceived, each and every one of you sitting in here have a purpose. God didn't create you and then try to decide, well, what am I going to have for them to do? No, he had a purpose, and then he created you. You want to know more about your purpose? Come and see me at Growth Track. And I mean that sincerely. Because that's in me. If you want to discover your purpose, you want to know what you're about, the gifts and the talents that's in you, Growth Track is strategically designed for that. Come and see me, and I'll help you. We'll walk you along the way. Amen? Yeah. All right. Now, praise God for that. Awesome, 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 awesome. So let's look at this for a minute. When you take your purpose, and you take the gifts and the talents that's placed on the inside of you, you put all that together, and what do you have? You have the dream team. Yes. You have the dream team. Each and every one of you in here has a purpose, a gift, and a talent that you can take and put it in with the dream team, and guess what it'll do? It will change people's lives. Jesus had the ultimate purpose. His purpose wasn't about him. And I love to say this, you're blessed to be a blessing. Understand this, your purpose isn't about you. It never was and it never will be. Amen. Jesus' purpose was not about him. When Jesus was on the cross, told the thief, look, I can call 12 legions of angels to get down from here. But he had a purpose. He had an intentional plan that was strategically thought out. And that was so that each and every one of us, he paid the price for us so that we did not have to pay that price. He had a purpose behind it. Your purpose is the same thing. The gifts, the talents that God has placed on the inside of you, they're not for you. It's to go out and to save the lost. It's to go out and to share with those that are hurting. It's to go and share that experience that you've done and say, this is what God has done for me, so that they can see that God loves them just as much as he loves you. That's what your purpose is. It's not about you. And when we take our purpose, our gifts, and our talents, and we put them together, joining the dream team, then what we do, we unite. And we unite for that one call that God has given that man and woman of God to take hold of the city of Fort Wayne, and that's what we do.
Come on, before I get started, can we just give a round of applause for these amazing people so far? Man, how cool is it what God has already done this morning? Man, I just want to give honors we all have to Pastor Kyle, Pastor Bethany, thank you so much just for believing in me, for helping raise me up, Pastor Kyle and Anna Sadler, as well as just all the pastors and leaders here, as well as you guys. I want to honor you, man, for taking time out of your day to come in here and just truly open up and believe that God's going to do something. And then I want to honor each and every one of you amazing men and women just for your dedication to ministry and seeing people's lives change. So I get the honor and the privilege of getting to talk about giving and generosity. So I know as soon as I say that, some of us are going to kind of step back and close our ears because we don't want to hear. As soon as give comes up, it's kind of taboo, and it's something that we just kind of shelter ourselves around. So please, please, please do not let this be that kind of a moment. When I say generosity, I'm not just talking about, hey, I need you to get out your checkbook and write me a blank check. What I'm saying is generosity is simply giving back in excess what God has already given to you. Generosity is not always finances. Generosity can be with your time, being generous, serving one another on a team, maybe being generous with your praise and worship when we're giving it back to God and not holding back, but giving him what we have. How about being generous with vulnerability in relationships, while we're in a small group and saying, you know what, I'm not going to stand back here, and I'm not going to just keep myself from the blessing that God has of true friendship and relationship that's going to help me get free and help me see better days ahead. It all stems from generosity. So 1 Chronicles 29:14 says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? It is an honor to be able to give. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. You cannot outgive God. Simple. You cannot outgive God. He gave you breath in your lungs today, and you can't give that back to him, but you can use it for praise. You can use it to speak words of life into people and build people up. You can use it to say things that are going to change eternities and give people plans and purposes like these people have been doing all day. So I did a word study going into this week. So in the Bible, the word believe is found 272 times. Pray is in the Bible 371 times. Love, pretty important, I'd say, is in the Bible 714 times, but yet give is found in the Bible 2,152 times. We have to take notice. We have to take notice. That is the call on our lives that God has placed in us. Generosity is love in action. If you have to get one thing, get this. You can give all you want without loving people. You can give, give, give without love, but you absolutely cannot love without giving. You cannot love without giving. You could tweet that later. You can write it down, okay? What we are interested in or invested in shows our interest. It shows what we care about. You know, Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he shall also reap. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. We have to sow if we're going to reap. So come with me. We're thinking about a farmer. Say there's this farmer, And he's believing for the harvest. He's believing for the blessing of God and to reap this. And he comes to church each and every Sunday. And he's on his knees every day pleading before God for this harvest to come. And he's in prayer and he's in worship. And he's doing all the right things. He's checking off everything on the list. Maybe he's even in a small group. But let me tell you, if he never planted the seed in the first place, he will never get the harvest. He will never get the harvest. And I think all of you would probably call him crazy if he comes to you saying, I just don't get it. God does not hear me. I'm praying. I'm believing. He said the harvest will come, but he never planted the seed. We have to invest first. We have to give first. With our giving, with our investment, with our generosity comes some of God's most bountiful blessings. It is the one area he tells us to test him in. It's the one area, and I know for a fact that the enemy will do everything that he can to keep us from that. The reason people have been hurt by it is because the enemy wants to twist it. He wants to keep you in a place that says, you know what? I'm kind of tight right now. I don't have a lot extra to give, whether it's in my time, and man, my schedule's really packed, and man, I'm caring for this family, and it's tough. It's tough being a single parent. I don't know if I can take more time to care for another person and extend a hand, but let me tell you, out of the overflow of your heart, when you have nothing left and you decide to give, that's where God's most bountiful blessing will come into your life. Guaranteed, absolutely, because that's what he did. That's what he did. I think we all know it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. If you don't think that Jesus was at the end of his rope when he was on that cross, I think you'd be sadly mistaken. He was beaten, he was brutalized, he was tortured, he was mocked and scoffed by his own people that he came to save. And that's what it boils down to, guys. It's the cross. I don't know about you, but when I look up there, I see a picture of generosity. I do not see a stingy God holding things back from us, but I see a radical act of generosity to save and to restore his children back to him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Whatever you are doing in us and through us, let us be men and women of action. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to say thank you to Pastor Kyle and Bethany. It is a privilege for you guys to pour into us. If you do not know, this couple is not so far removed that they are not involved with the people. They don't do that every place. Trust me, I know. But these people pour into you. They pray, they encourage, and they empower. And I just want to say thank you for that. Family Vibes, I am talking about serving. What does serve mean? It means to give, to help, to assist, to lend a hand. This is the embodiment. If you haven't figured it out already, we're talking about the four cups on the wall outside, to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and to make a difference. And that's pretty much what serving means. We're going to make a difference. You're probably thinking, well, why should I serve? I come to church every Sunday. That's great. We're glad we see you here. You're not just called to fellowship with the saints and come, though. We were also called individually and collectively to go out. And you still might be thinking, but why do I want to do that? I'm getting ready to tell you. The first reason is that when we serve others, we imitate God. Genesis tells us that God was sitting around one day talking to himself, and he said, we will make people, we will make man in our image and in our likeness. With that said, when Jesus went to the cross, you have the power, you have the ability to do just what he did and to say and to go and to do, and we're called to do that. In Mark 10:45, it says that for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In John chapter 13, now some of you know this story. Jesus is getting ready to wash the disciples' feet, okay? And Peter, I read my Bible and I do voices because it makes it more interesting that way. So this is what's happening. Jesus is getting ready to wash the feet. He's taking off his robe. He's got a towel around him. And he's like, I'm going to wash your feet. And this is Peter, slightly indignant, like, no, Jesus, you cannot wash my feet. You know, I won't let you do that. And then Jesus kind of is like, oh, this dude again. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Another version says that we won't have anything to do with each other. I won't have anything to do with you unless you do this to me. What Jesus was really trying to get them to see is evident in verses 16 and 17. He says, "Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." We don't serve because we want the blessing. Serving is the blessing. The second reason we're called to serve is that by serving others, we serve God. We've already talked about how loving, honoring, giving, and uniting, we're serving God. But by actually doing for other people, we serve God as well. In Matthew 9, 35 through 38, Jesus is traveling through towns and villages of that area, teaching in synagogues and announcing the good news. He healed every kind of disease and illness. He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless. Serving people, remember the definition, to help, to aid, to assist. That's what we're going to do with those confused and helpless. They're like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the fields." Let me tell you something. God is in charge. Elevate City, you are the workers, and Fort Wayne, Indiana is our field. And the third reason that we serve others is because we show love when we serve the lost. Galatians 5 and 3 says that you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly and in love. And then John 13, 35 says that by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. In closing, I'd just like to say this. In John chapter 14, this is four chapters before Jesus is getting ready to be arrested, and it's right before, like moments, seconds before, he's telling the disciples, "I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit for you." He says, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior," we all do, if you don't, you will maybe by the end of the service, "who believe in me as Savior will also do things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these in extent and in outreach." Elevate City, your opportunity for that outreach and extent is June 8th, Serve Day. You can register right outside the doors there at the kiosks. We can talk to Dan Sparling, or you can pull out your phone, download the Elevate City app, and register that way. We are called to do greater things, and we will. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I want to start by thanking Pastor Kyle and Bethany PK, because there's so many Pastor Kyles around here. PK and Bethany for keeping on handing me this mic for some reason. I appreciate that. And none of us up here take it lightly that we've been asked to speak today and to teach, because the Bible says that those who teach will be judged more harshly, which sounds kind of terrifying. So we do take the responsibility that we understand that, and I know PK and Bethany do too, as they've been coaching us through this. So I am finishing up with the sixth and seventh value, and I still only get 6 minutes, so I'll try not to talk too fast. But I got belief is the first one I'm going to talk about today, and that means we have confidence in the calling God has given us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "For you are a chosen people, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession." We like to kind of stop the verse right there because it gave us a good pat on the back and a good pep talk, right? But it goes on to say, as a result of this good stuff, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So because we have been called out of darkness and into his wonderful light, we now get to do that to other people. We get to help walk them along this journey. And as you've already heard so many times today, we get to help walk people along the journey to know God through our weekend services, find freedom through our life transformative small groups, discover purpose through the growth track, and make a difference by joining the dream team. That is how we get to do that. And why do we do that? Because the calling that we believe in, that God's given us, is that we will reach the unchurched and awaken the spiritually restless to love God and to love people. That is the calling we believe that God has given us, and that is why we take them on this journey. Now, in talking about belief and faith, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is a familiar one. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being confident of what we hope for and sure of what we do not see," assurance of what we do not see. I love that verse because it talks about confidence for the hope within us and assurance even when we haven't seen it yet. About three or four years ago, me and Kyle, we lived in Fort Wayne for the first 3 years of our marriage. We've been married 6.5 years now. We lived up here for 2.5 years, 3 years, and then we felt God calling us to move to go start a church in Indy. And we felt it so strongly that one day I literally called up Kyle bawling in hysterics, like, "We have got to leave or God is going to say we're disobeying him." Like, we're in disobedience if we do not follow God and leave. And so we went down and we moved, and we lived with my grandparents because we didn't have a place to live. We didn't have jobs yet. I found a job at Starbucks. Kyle got a part-time teller job at a bank. That is what happened. We moved and we picked up our lives and went down there because we had faith that that's what God was calling us to do. We told everyone what we were doing. We started raising money for this church plant. And then all of a sudden, we were rejected. We were told no. People wouldn't open doors for us. It wasn't working for us. We had to keep, they're like, "You need to get better at this, this, and this. You need to do that, do this. You're not good enough here. You're not good enough there. Nope, 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 and nope." So we're like, okay. So we had all this great faith, like the type of stuff that makes it into the Hall of Fame of faith in the Bible type of thing as well, you know? And it's like sometimes our faith doesn't feel good enough. It doesn't feel big enough. So we moved back to Fort Wayne, and through that process, God really taught us something about faith. See, he didn't ask for us to have the faith that moves mountains. He asked for us to have even just little tiny mustard seed faith. I remember hearing this story growing up. I thought a mustard seed was maybe like a big seed. You plant the ground and a big thing grows up. No, it's like, the first time I saw it, I was like, that's the kind of faith we're supposed to have. It's a little tiny weak faith that you can lose when you drop it out of your pocket. Little tiny weak faith is all he requires of us. Having perfect big faith is not what gets us through. That's not what does it. But looking to the one who makes big faith out of our tiny little weak faith is what gets us through. So often we feel like we have to have big faith, the faith that moves mountains, the faith that parts seas, the faith that brings dead back to life, but Jesus didn't ask us for that. All he said was that if we had even tiny little weak faith, that was enough, because a God who can create a world out of nothing is a God who doesn't need a whole lot of my effort to figure it out. He's got it all figured out. And knowing that he's that God who takes little weak faith and makes it into mountain moving faith, knowing that, that's what faith is made of. That's what faith is made of. The last value that we have is dream. And I'm so excited about this one. Joel 2:28 to 29 says, "I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike." It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your status. You are called. If you are sitting in a seat today, you are called to be part of the dream that God is calling this church to. You are called to be part of the dream. That's why it's called the dream team. You are called to be part of the dream. Isaiah 43:18-19, God's talking to the Israelites about all the crap that they've come through. And he says, "But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." We need to look around this room, link arm in arm with our brothers and sisters, and run ahead, our eyes fixed on Jesus, to accomplish the dream that he has for us. We're in the biggest season of growth as a church, numerically and spiritually, because God is making us ready. We're going to move into prayer here in a minute, but I want to start with this. There's a song out right now called Ready or Not. And as I was preparing this message, I could not help but think of this song. It's by Hillsong United. If you haven't heard it yet, don't worry. I'm about to read it to you because it's so good. I cannot leave without sharing it. And I really feel like this is a call to us today. This is a challenge that the Holy Spirit has for us today. As we've heard all of our values as a church, the dreams and the vision that we have, it says this: come now, bring your hopes, your dreams, your doubts, your scars. Are you ready? Are you ready? Come now, bring your hurts, your fears, your faith, your heart. Are you ready? Are you ready or not? There's no place like his presence. There's no time like the now. He welcomes the broken, and he's all right with your past. He's not mad at any one of us, but he waits with open arms, and he says, come. Are you ready? Are you ready? He's still faithful to deliver, he's mighty as ever to save. He's still good on his promises, and his love never fails. Everyone, close your eyes and bow your head with me. I'm going to read this verse one more time with every head bowed and every eye closed. Isaiah said, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Today, let's trust our little weak faith to the God who created us just to have us. The God who brings dead things back to life. The God who turns nothing into something and makes a way when there is none. He cares so much about us, not just to love us, not just to give us a plan for our lives, but to take care of every single detail of that plan with us barely having to lift a finger. Now, we've talked a lot about the plan God has for us as a church body today, but today, while your eyes are closed, I want you to think about the plan and the purpose that God has for you as an individual. What is it he's calling you to? What is the dream he's stirring up within you? Is there anything there? Does it need to start? Has it not begun yet? If you are ready to leave all your past and hurt and sin behind, if you're ready for the first time to truly walk into God's arms, then I want to pray with you today. And on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, not just for a show or anything like that, but it's so that we know who we're praying with, one, but also for yourself to make a move saying, yes, I am ready. I'm ready for that. So if that's you today, one, two, three, raise your hands if you're ready. Raise your hands now. We got hands up. And guys, I want you guys to celebrate right now for the people who we're going to be praying with. Come on, let's give God praise for who we're going to pray with today. Thank you, Jesus. I want everyone to join with us together with those who raised their hands, because there's always a different level of readiness that we need to have. So let's all pray this together. Repeat after me. Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to leave my past behind. I'm ready to be done with sin. I'm ready for you to take control. I give you my past. I give you my now. I give you my future. Put a new dream in my heart. Amen. Guys, I want to leave you with the last part of this song. It says, come now, bring him praise for what he might do next. Are you ready? Are you ready or not? He's already bought our freedom. He's already done the miracle. He's already conquered death. He's our rock, our solid hope. He's already done enough for us, and he's already doing more. He's already seen the ending. He's already seen us through. He's already breaking out of us. He's already on the move. He's already won our battles. He's already paved the way. He's already gone ahead of us, and he's ready when we are. Come now, for all we've seen, we ain't seen nothing yet. Are you ready? Are you ready or not? Come on, let's praise him for what he's going to do.